Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Of course, he kept a very close eye on results of the Iowa caucuses. We have the New Hampshire primary coming up in just a few days, and we're going to talk about the state of the presidential race. Scott Parkinson, good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me back, Loman.
Iowa, President Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, managed to get over 50%. All the polling showed him with a substantial lead. That's, in fact, what's happened. So, Scott, does this change the trajectory of the presidential nomination process at all?
Well, I think the trajectory has been and continues to be that Donald Trump is by far the front runner to receive the Republican nomination for President of the United States and to face Joe Biden in November of 2024. And what we saw in Iowa this week was, I think, pretty interesting when you start to unpack the data and look at it in a historical context and then think about what that means for this election cycle. One of the big things that I would point out right away is that he did finish with above 50%, which I think was the first time in four decades that somebody has received that much support in the Iowa caucuses. Now, this is obviously a big race for Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and at the time, another candidate, Vivek Ramaswamy. And when you think about their candidacies, DeSantis had a narrow second-place win over Nikki Haley by roughly 2,000 votes. And Haley was sort of surging in the polls. Some people thought that she was going to finish several percent above DeSantis. And was Donald Trump going to be below 50 or above? And there were all these questions from the prognosticators. And there was also a big question about what the turnout in the Iowa caucuses would be. When you go back to 2016, the last time we had a competitive Iowa caucus and Ted Cruz won, there were 180,000 Iowans that voted. And this time we only had about 110,000 people. And I don't think that that's necessarily a reflection of a drop in enthusiasm for candidates. I think it's something that you had playoff games going on Monday night. Monday night was also Martin Luther King Day. You also had really, really big snowstorm that hit Iowa. So a lot of different factors there. But I think that the Trump team is incredibly excited about the path that they're on as you turn your attention toward New Hampshire. One thing I would also point out is there was this expectation, at least internally, through the Ramaswamy campaign, that he would get around 10%. And Donald Trump attacked him over Truth Social the weekend before the Iowa caucuses. And Ramaswamy, in the end, only got 7.7%. And so on Monday night, he dropped out of the presidential race and enthusiastically endorsed Donald Trump. He's been campaigning with him in New Hampshire. And I think that that's a big development because Ramaswamy is the type of new generational leader that's bringing young people to the table that really aren't connected to a political party yet. And what that means for his support, how it translates toward going towards Donald Trump or another candidate, something I think a lot of people want to watch.
Republicans, of course, Scott, very rarely nominate somebody who hasn't been around the horn before. For Vivek Ramaswamy and also for Ron DeSantis, running this cycle and not winning, they're comparatively young. Are they setting themselves up to be the future of the Republican Party?
Donald Trump is still the leader of the Republican Party, and he's going to have a big say in that with, you know, whenever he decides to hang things up, who he passes the crown along to. And Ramaswamy, DeSantis, their youth is important because I think it presents a bold contrast to people like Joe Biden, who are career politicians. But Donald Trump's not a career politician, right? He was an entertainer. He was a real estate mogul. He was somebody that's had a lot of success in really everything he's done. And on the other hand, you know that a political lifetime can be incredibly short. And I think that's part of why DeSantis ran for president in 2024, because the window of opportunity in his mind was open. And is that window still going to be open in 2028? I think it's way too early to say. And I think there will be a lot of new voices that ultimately are presented before the American people and could be competitive candidates as well. But the bottom line is we've got history on our side when it comes to considering candidates, and Republican Party has a deep, deep bench. And I think everybody just needs to be excited about really the opportunity that the policies we present over the policies of the Democratic Party that are really leaning towards socialism are creating a economic hardship on most families.
So let's look ahead here for the last minute or two that we have, Scott. Now the attention goes to New Hampshire, where is this sort of a do or die next couple of weeks for Nikki Haley? You have New Hampshire where she's hung her hat. And then we go to South Carolina, where Nikki Haley was governor. So does she really need to perform well in those two states to even be able to continue after that?
Money will be a big deciding factor in that, right? Because even if you perform well, but you're broke, you're then relying only on earned media. And I don't think there's any expectation that Haley's actually going to win either of those states. I heard a poll this week that said Donald Trump was winning New Hampshire in the general election by 13%. So the swing states, the competitive states for 2024 and the general election are all trending the right direction for Trump. And what Nikki Haley's campaign looks like, or any other campaign, is, I think, going to be largely contingent upon how much money they've got to do direct voter contact, especially leading up to March 5th and Super Tuesday.
It was interesting, some of the polling that came out of Iowa of the caucus goers. And by the way, my hat's off to them for slogging through that snowstorm and the bitter cold weather to show up and vote in person as they did. Illegal immigration, the southern border being out of control, was a big issue among Iowans here, Scott. Do you see that as continuing to be a major issue for Republicans to use against Democrats as a wedge issue, even as we go into other states like New Hampshire and South Carolina?
Absolutely. You know, I think people see 10 million illegal aliens coming across the border, and it makes them feel less safe. There obviously are not 10 million violent criminals that are coming across the border, but even if there are 10,000, where are they relocating, and what are they up to? And I think that has a lot of people really, really concerned, from suburban women all the way out into rural areas where people feel isolated. And I think it will continue to be a big, big issue for 2024 as the Biden border crisis seems completely out of control.
And Governor Greg Abbott down in Texas has certainly succeeded in nationalizing that issue by sending immigrants, illegal immigrants, to so-called sanctuary cities, where apparently the Democrats in those cities are not overly welcoming of them. We have been talking with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. Scott, as always, a bit about the club, please.
Yeah, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. Can join over 500,000 members from all walks of life by signing up for free at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Loman.